This week we're continuing our series from Colossians, but before we do that, we'll just open in a word of prayer. Lord God, Father, we thank you for every moment that you give us. We thank you for times like these where we can come to your word, where we can be encouraged, where we can be built up, where you can speak to us. And help us, Father, not to take these moments for granted. Help us to be open to your leading, to where you're guiding. Help us to have teachable hearts and open minds. And so we pray as we come to your word this morning that you will lead us and you'll teach us, and that we'll all grow closer and transform a little bit more into more Christ-like behaviour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So nearly 7 years ago, well before I met my wife, my world was flipped on its head. You see, I'd entered a relationship that I was not emotionally, mentally, or spiritually mature enough for. Even though I was a Christian, this other person became my number one priority. And as a Christian, I'm supposed to keep God as my number one priority. I know that. He's supposed to be at the centre of my life, but I let that slip. And so when that relationship failed, I felt as though the ground beneath me was crumbling. It was as though there was a giant sinkhole that was opening up beneath me, and I was falling into the depths. I was shaken, I was heavily depressed, and amidst the pain I was enduring, I struggled to see where God was. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt as though the world around you is crumbling? I'd contend that many of you have, especially considering the recent pandemic. But perhaps you haven't been in the above situation I was, but instead the everyday routines. Something unexpected occurs, leaves you bitter, disappointed, or even angry. You might be at work and your boss accuses you of doing something that you never did. You pride yourself in a good work ethic, and this seems like a slap in the face. It can hurt your pride and leave you really disappointed. Or perhaps you're a parent. You've invested years into your children, trusting, hoping, and praying that they'll turn out to be loving, caring believers of Christ. But you hear news that they're not living as you'd hoped. Or perhaps you spend all your spare time on YouTube, Instagram or TikTok, entertaining yourself for hours. The desire for constant entertainment is something many of us struggle with, perhaps simply because it's easy. Social media can create a false sense of connection too. I wonder, if technology failed, for example, if the internet completely stopped working, what would your reaction be? I'm sure some here would applaud, but for others, it would be devastating. What would you do with all of that new free time that you've got? All of these situations speak about our foundations and what we build our life upon. And if you're not sure what your foundation is, ask yourself this question. What is it that you spend most time doing, thinking about, or with? And if it's not Christ, could you imagine losing it? Paul has a lot to say to encourage us here, so if you have your Bibles with you, please open to Colossians 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through to 15 this morning, and I'm going to be reading from the CSB. Paul begins, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you are taught and overflowing with gratitude." First thing to notice, Paul's message is written for the church at Colossae. They're already believers, already having received Jesus Christ as Lord. They've already accepted the message of Christ. Paul's encouragement is to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ, established in the faith. I love the imagery that Paul uses here. At the Bunya Mountains, you'll find a lot of bunya pines. Some of these trees are massive, growing over 50 metres in height, and if you've ever camped there, you'd know the area is often barraged by wild storms and heavy wind. The reason these trees can withstand the weather is because their root system is so strong. You can see how deep the roots go. If their root system wasn't this strong, as an example, if their roots were incredibly shallow, what do you think would happen during a storm? At first, they'd shake. Next, they'd wobble around. And eventually, they'll completely topple over. The very life of the tree is dependent upon a good foundation. And if our lives are built on the wrong foundation, or if they simply have no foundation, when the storms come, the lives we've built can be torn apart. Jesus himself taught this very principle in his parable of the wise and foolish builders. And perhaps this week you can read it again. You can find it in Matthew 7 and Luke 6. In this passage today, Paul is continuing that very same message of Christ. As we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. When the tree's roots are strong, the tree is far more likely to weather the storms of life. If Jesus Christ is not your foundation in life, then he should be. We all need to reconfigure our priorities. Growing our relationship with Jesus Christ is the best foundation to have. But how do we do that? Paul moves on with the argument. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. What do you spend your time thinking about? Do you spend all your spare time perusing the internet, perhaps reading books or catching up on the latest news? In and of themselves, these can be good things, but don't let them take over your life and your priorities. On another note, do you get bogged down contemplating the philosophies of different theologies? We all want to deepen our knowledge of God and the things he's doing, and that's a really good thing. But don't be held captive by the little nuances that you get distracted from the simple message of Jesus Christ. Paul is telling us to build our foundation by contemplating Christ. We need to spend time enthralled, encapsulated, and energized by Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is built. Is your hope found in Christ alone? This week, after the kids are in bed, or after dinner has been prepared and you're ready to sit down in front of the television and relax, instead, can I challenge you to open your Bible and spend that time with Jesus? Whether that's with your spouse or your home alone, can I encourage you to prioritise Jesus this week? So Paul continues, beginning to describe the kind of life that we have in Jesus. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. And you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells in Christ. How can one single person, being Jesus, have a full divine nature and a full human nature? If you've ever wanted a theological philosophy to contemplate, that's a good one. But Paul's point isn't to be distracted here. Instead, he points out that Jesus Christ, whom we worship and submit to, was filled with God's nature. Jesus Christ has dominion and power over every politician and preacher, including ScoMo. He's the head of your boss. Jesus is the ultimate power. He's God in human form. And here's the beautiful thing. Just as Jesus was filled with God's nature, you also are filled with God's nature. When you accept Christ, when you submit to Christ, his power, his spirit indwells within you, transforming you. Paul continues. You were also circumcised with him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In the Old Testament times, to be a Jewish male, you had to be circumcised. It was a sign of the covenant and commitment between man and God. For women, the commitment came through either their father or marriage. But here in the New Testament, the sign is baptism. It's equally applicable for all of us. It functions in a similar way to circumcision, the removal of flesh in exchange for the removal of our past lives. And it's also symbolic. As Christ was raised from the dead, so too were we raised with him through faith in the working of God. The argument moves on. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. Before you met Christ, you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. You were dead, lifeless, inanimate, completely and utterly helpless in your sin. You're stuck there, incapable of doing anything about it. And you don't even realize you're dead because you're dead. But God made you alive in him. He raised us up and he forgave us. He raised us out of our death and into life. And baptism symbolizes this very concept. How did God do that? How did he make us alive and forgive us? That certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us, he erased it by taking it away and nailing it to the cross. I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in the message. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our lives are changed. You were once dead, but now you're alive. You were once a slave, but now you're free. That's incredible news, and I can't help but stand in awe of our God. Earlier we talked about the foundations or the roots of our lives. Paul's point in this passage is pretty clear. If your foundation is not Jesus Christ, you are dead. You owe a debt to God that you cannot pay. And while Jesus has paid that debt, it's our job to accept this gift. We ought not be captivated by empty words, philosophies, or deceit. We must build our foundations upon Christ and his simple message. When our foundation is Christ, his spirit indwells within us, transforming us into his likeness. when we foster, nourish, and grow our desire for Jesus, not only can we withstand the storms of life, but we start to bear beautiful fruit as well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we come from being a dead, lifeless tree to one being able to bear and produce good fruit. And that's a big transformation. Please understand this transformation is a process. It comes as you journey with Jesus and his Spirit over the course of your life. You may see big changes regularly, or you may struggle to see them at times. We need to remember that none of us has made it as we journey with Christ. We slowly but surely learn to become more and more like him. Earlier I shared a story about how I let God slip from being my number one priority. And so when the relationship broke down, it shattered me. In hindsight, I wish I had kept God at the centre. If I did, the outcome wouldn't have been so tough for me to handle. I would have been able to weather the storm. No doubt it would have still been painful, but if your foundation is Christ, you've always got him right by your side. After all, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So when your boss accuses you of something you didn't do, you can turn the other cheek. You can cop it on the chin. When your child chooses a pathway for their life that you've always prayed that they wouldn't, you can have peace knowing that God is still at work in your child's life. Can you see the difference that God can make in our lives? Where once we were dead, now we're alive. One by one, God is changing us and he's growing us. With every life that is changed, that is renewed, that is restored, another tree is planted in the forest of life. And this forest continues to grow every single day. The Christian life is meant to be more than just a Sunday experience. 7 days a week, 24/7, living for Christ in every single moment. So in the week that lies ahead, can I encourage you to pray without ceasing? Spend time in God's word daily. Do it as regularly as you can. If this isn't usual practice for you, give it a go this week. See what difference it makes in your own heart, in your own emotions. I invite the band back up onto the stage. We're going to worship the cornerstone of our lives. And if today's message has resonated with you and you'd like to begin following Jesus this morning, if you'd like to receive the gift of his Spirit, can I encourage you to come forward during this song and one of our pastors will pray with you.